Translation, even though one is in the renounced order, one who is advanced certainly feels compassion for suffering living entities. One should certainly neglect his own personal interests, although they may be very important to protect one who is surrendered. Purport, mine is very strong in the name of philanthropy, altruism, and communism. People are feeling compassion for suffering humanity throughout the world. Philanthropists and altruists do not realize that it is impossible to improve people's material conditions. Material conditions are already established by the superior administration according to one's karma. They cannot be changed. The only benefit we can render to suffering beings is to try to raise them to spiritual consciousness. Material comforts cannot be increased or decreased. It is therefore said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Talabhite Duprabhasimita Sukham. As far as material happiness is concerned, that comes without effort, just as tribulations come without effort. Material happiness and pain can be attained without endeavor. One should not bother for material activities. If one is at all sympathetic or able to be good to others, he should endeavor to raise people to Krishna consciousness. In this way, everyone advances spiritually by the grace of the Lord. For our instruction, Varaharaj acted in this way, in such a way. We should be very careful not to be misled by so-called welfare activities conducted in bodily terms. One should not give up his interest in attaining the favor of Lord Vishnu at any cost. Generally, people do not know this or they forget it. Consequently, they sacrifice their original interest in attainment of Vishnu's favor and engage in philanthropic activities for bodily comfort. Due to attachment to the deer, Maharaj Bharat lay down with it, walked about with it, bathed with it, and even ate with it. Thus his heart became bound to the deer in affection. When Maharaj Bharat wanted to enter the forest to collect kusa grass, flowers, wood leaves, roots, roots and water, he would fear that dogs, jackals, tigers, and other ferocious animals might kill the deer. Would therefore always keep the deer with him when entering the forest. Report how Maharaj Bharat increased his respect for the deer as described herein. Even such an exalted personality as Bhat Maharaj, who was, had attained loving affection for the Supreme Personality of God, had fell down from his position due to his affection for some animal. Consequently, as will be seen, he had to accept the body of a deer in his next life. Since this was the case with Bhat Maharaj, what can we say of those who are not advanced in spiritual life, but have become attached to cats and dogs? Due to their affection for their cats and dogs, they have to take the same bodily forms in the next life, unless they clearly increase their affection and love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless we increase our faith in the Supreme Lord, we shall be attracted to many other things. That is the cause of our material bondage. When entering the forest, the animal would appear very attractive to Maharaja Bharat due to his childish behavior. Maharaja Bharat would even take the deer on his shoulders and carry it due to affection. Sartre was so filled with great love for the deer that he would sometimes keep it on his lap and when sleeping on his chest. In this way, he felt great pleasure in fondling the animal. Maharaja Bharat left his home, wife, children, kingdom, and everything else to advance his spiritual life in the forest. But again, he fell victim to material affection due to his attachment to an insignificant pet deer. What then was the use of his renouncing his family? One who was serious in advancing his spiritual life should be very cautious not to become attached to anything but Krishna. Sometimes in order to preach, we have to accept many material activities, but we should remember that everything is for Krishna. If we remember this, there's no chance that we'll be victimized by material activities. Next, then, even though one is in the renounced order, one who is advanced certainly feels compassion for suffering living entities. One certainly neglects his own personal interests, although they may be very important to protect one who has surrendered. So this is the thought of Bharat, that when he saw the helpless animal, I must protect this animal because it has no shelter. The mother has died, and the wild animals will attack it. So this is the excuse he gives for giving shelter to the baby deer. And then the next verse describes how he developed his affection for that deer. So, Prabhupada has mentioned here about the attempt to do good activities for others. And of course that is encouraged in the scriptures, and therefore we have punyas, and they're emphasized in many places in the Puranas. And on the other hand, there is condemnation of sinful activities, which are the opposite. So the pious activities are the opposite of the sinful activities. So it's better to do pious activities than sinful activities. So sinful activities are condemned and pious activities are praised. Sinful activities lead to bad karma and suffering and demotion in terms of life forms. And punyas lead to advancement, that is, higher bodies and sattva-guna. So this is the, and this is mentioned in scripture, we should do the good activities and avoid bad activities. For normal people in society, this is the norm. This should be done. But at the same time, Prabhupada says, well, what is the use of doing all these things? Because people are suffering from their karma anyway. Well, we see that if we do these activities for other people, yes, they have their karmas, and then we do something to help them or whatever. And as a result of that, we get good karma, and they get some temporary relief from their misery. So to that extent, there is some good effect. So we cannot say that everything is karma, and therefore also do nothing. According to my karma, I'll sit down, and according to my karma, I'll get my food, and according to karma, I'll do my religious activities, my dharma, and according to my karma, and I won't do anything, I'll just let it happen. Yeah? So that, of course, that is something like the Avadhut stage of Rishabhadeva, where he just sat down in the forest and whatever came, he accepted. But we know in normal society that is not the case. In fact, in the Varnashram Dharma system, everybody has to work. They can't just sit there. They say, well, it's karma. I have nothing to do, so I don't have a job. That's my karma. I'll sit here, and then every witch will feed me. So that is not the Varnashram system. Everybody has to work. So there is the direction in scripture. You do activity, not that you don't do any activity. So definitely you should do activity, not give up activity. So the essence of scripture is not to not do anything and just let karma work. So due to karma, we get a certain particular body, and if we're fortunate, then we get the opportunity to work and do our activities within karma. But if we fail to do anything, that is also considered a sin. So non-action is considered to be sinful. If we don't do anything, we don't do our duties in society, it's considered sinful. So this is the normal conception. Of course, when we come to bhakti and Krishna says give up all dharmas and simply worship the Lord, and then we have a different principle working. So one is allowed to give up those duties, not do those activities which are injunctions within the Varnashram system, if one is dedicated to the Supreme Lord. This does not mean, of course, that in worshiping the Lord we do everything opposite of Varnashram rules, but there may be cases where we don't do certain things, but it's not considered sinful. That is, we omit to do certain activities, and it's not considered sinful. So, bhakti is on a higher level, but still we see activities are involved. It's not that we just be a devotee and it's the will of Krishna, I be devotional, it's the will of Krishna that I get delivered from the material world, and we sit there and say I'm a devotee and don't do anything. We also have to put endeavor into our activities. So we cannot ascribe everything, well, it's my karma to be a devotee, and it's karma that I advance, so therefore I won't do anything. Okay? So activity is always recommended, whether it's within Varnashram system or within bhakti. We do certain activities. The difference, of course, is within karma yoga, we get karma, either good or karma. Good karma or bad karma, but hopefully good karma if we're following the Varnashram system, we get good karma. And so we advance in the material world into Sattva Guna. As devotees, we do activities. Those activities do not incur karma. They destroy karma. Opposites. They don't accrue any karma, rather they destroy the karma that is presently there in all the past karmas. They get destroyed by the process of bhakti. So therefore, there's nothing wrong with activity as such. And not only nothing wrong with it, it is also necessary to do activities in order to perfect one's spiritual life, what speak of material life. So yes, the conditions of people are more or less set up by karma in this material world. But whatever that karma is, we do activities within that. And by doing activities in a certain way, we advance. And by not doing those activities and doing it in the opposite way, then we get degraded. So on one level we do Varnashram, on another level we do bhakti. So though karma is there, we do not simply give up all activities and say everything is due to karma. We put forth endeavor within this lifetime also. Should we help others or not? Then, since their karma is to suffer, why should I help them? If people are dying, so I'll sit there and say, it's your karma. That's all. And you look at them die. No, we don't do that also. And it's not prescribed. So in other words, we all say non-violence, no killing animals, etc. It's animals' karma to die anyway, so why are they suffering? We can say that also. But we don't. So we avoid, of course, as much suffering in this world as possible. We try to avoid committing sinful activities which create suffering. And we also try to prevent others from doing those simple activities, which causes violence in the material world and suffering in the material world. So yes, even the devotee is opposed to the suffering of the material world. The solution, of course, is a little different because the devotee knows it is due to karma, and the solution ultimately is that the person's people have to rectify their consciousness in order to actually cure it and get the ultimate result. But nevertheless, someone has to teach them that. So as Prabhupada said previously, the real compassion for the living entities to get give them spiritual knowledge. So our compassion should be focused on that. Not that we reject their material condition, but we also can never forget their spiritual condition, because that is the basis of their material suffering in this world. If we are able to do something material for them, they get a temporary relief. And they may also get a little bit of advancement in terms of elevation, because their consciousness may improve somewhat, and therefore their activities will improve, and therefore they will get better karma next life. So in that way, beneficial in one sense. And, of course, if we give them proper knowledge, spiritual knowledge, then of course they get much more benefit. But as I said, all people are not qualified for that spiritual knowledge, so therefore the only thing we can do is indirectly give that by exposing them to the name of the Supreme Lord and Prasadam, etc. And to that extent they get some benefit from that. So therefore the compassion to the living entity in general should always be accompanied by hearing the name of the Lord and giving prasadam, and then whatever else we do, fine. And this way they can advance spiritually somewhat as well as materially. On a higher level, of course, then we do have higher knowledge. And so that is where real preaching begins, where we can actually give spiritual knowledge of the scriptures when people are ready to listen. And though the other aspect of helping people in general is there, the other aspect we cannot forget also, that is the knowledge. So the devotees must learn that knowledge and understand that knowledge, and then they also have to be able to communicate that knowledge to other persons. So this will provide a system for decreasing the misery of the material world. So this method is not a temporary measure, because if we have spiritual knowledge, we actually begin to destroy their karmas. And therefore, the suffering can be, it is not that they have to endure their karmas, whatever, and simply suffer. If they get spiritual knowledge, then they can destroy their karmas. So that is the solution to the material world. So we should never think that the karma is inevitable and people simply have to suffer in the material world. One of the major points of bhakti is that bhakti destroys all karma. To get that bhakti, we have to do activities. So therefore the movement of Lord Chaitanya is there to allow preaching to all types of people in different ways. And in this way, they can all advance to the degree that they're capable. So Bharat Maharaj, of course, was somewhat afflicted by this compassion, which got a little misdirected. He got deviated from his spiritual purpose. So here he's saying, well, we have to protect those who have no shelter. And due to that sentiment, which is not incorrect, of course, as a kshatriya, or as a human being in general, still, he became overly attached to the deer. And as a result of that, he did forget his spiritual life completely. So that was his real fall down. That he actually helped the deer was not a problem, but that he became over-attached. That was the problem. And then he forgot to worship the Supreme Lord. So what this illustrates is the fact that any attachment can be dangerous. Usually the Bhagavatam emphasizes attraction between men and women, but here's attraction between a man and an animal. So All types of attraction are there in the material world, and any of these attractions can lead to problem at any time. And so Bharat Maharaj's bhava state, still problem arose. What to speak of on lower levels of sadhana. So therefore we have to be careful that of that material attachment in any case. How to prevent that, of course, is one has to be very, very careful. One has to have proper knowledge. If one has proper association of devotees, that is a good protection also. In the case of Bharat, he was alone, so that was also another problem. And therefore, he made this mistake. As I mentioned before, the other problem was that this type of sentiment or this mistake he made led to problems because of a weakness caused by some previous aparad, which was not destroyed in the bhava stage. Whereas karmic reactions were all destroyed in maya sakti stage. In bhava stage, the effects of aparads can cause disturbance, so this is what happened to him. So even in bhava stage, there can be problems, usually due to this previous effects of previous aparads or whatever. So one has to be careful of these attachments in any case.
Sometimes people say that whether one should follow the regulative principles. Prabhupada mentioned in several places. Regulative principles, not of the four regulative principles, but like chanting the holy names and associating with devotees and all that. So probably because of this kind of a problem, that even at advanced stage, one needs two principles. So that if there is an effect of previous aparads, one is still protected.
Oh. What we found in the case of Bharat, of course, he didn't do anything. He neglected his worship completely. In other words, bhakti, he stopped. He was regular, but due to that association with the deer, then he got attached and then he stopped. So somehow he forgot, and that attachment rose in spite of his sadhana, in spite of the stage of bhava. So though we may do the chanting process, etc., still there is that possibility that something can happen, because in the case of Bharat, he's gone through the whole process and he attained bhava stage, and still it happened due to that association.
So Mark, can you say that among these five processes, probably the most important is association with you? Because it probably...
Well, that is a cause of everything. That's the cause of bhakti, and it's necessary in all cases. Of course, we can never say it's a combination, we can say, but yes, the association of devotees is very important and helps protect one from us.
Well, sometimes devotees give material solutions to new people, or sometimes devotees, they try to give some material solutions. Because they have a material problem, they try to give material solutions. So that material solution may not be perfect.
Yeah.
So if the other person executes it, he may get accrued some karma because of that. What about the devotee who is giving the solution?
Well, we should always tell them that, we're not giving a perfect solution to anything as far as the material thing. The perfect solution is you surrender to Krishna, that's the solution. And all these other things may or may not work. Tell them ahead of time. We're not infallible. Things may not work out in the material world, even if we suggest them to do one thing or the other.
But otherwise, the duty is affected.
Not really. If he's forcing him to do something, maybe, but if it's a voluntary thing, then he says, do this if you want to. I'm not telling you this is going to work. What's the problem? Doesn't explain these different types of akadasis at all. This is akadasi in general, which you do. One option is to completely fast on all akadasis with nothing. That's one option, the highest option, maybe we could say the most extreme option. The other is to take water. The other is to take anukalpa, that is foods, without drinks, whatever. That's the third option. So there are different levels like that allowable. So then there is these different akadasis with different names, like Putrada akadasi or whatever, and then Nirjala akadasi, and so many different akadasis, that's also there. though not in the heart, but across the self. If you want, you can follow, as I said, but it's not a compulsory thing. I have to look at the scripture and whatever, and some scriptures may say that, yes, but they're possibly, yes, but the best thing is to always observe the ekadasi, then you don't have the problem. Well, maybe very difficult then. If it took Bara 3 lifetimes when he was in Bhava stage, then if you're not in Bhava stage, it may take many more lifetimes. Usually it'll take many lifetimes.
Bharat Maharaj, the secular place, there is no any object of existence and education. Now, right now, they surrender the completely every direction of the present education.
No, therefore, it becomes a little more difficult to practice. So even to get the Bhava stage will be difficult in most cases. That's what that is.
Should a surrendered soul think about how many lives will go back?
No, well, one only tries to serve the Lord, that's all. How many lives? What was it? Mukunda? Yeah, he said, well, it takes me millions of lifetimes. Very good, still, I go back. So he was very happy. Because he would get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya after a million births or whatever.
If Bharat Maharaj was not a saint in David Deer, if you're not a saint in David Deer, you would have been eaten by some other animals. So that would have been some detrimental to his compassion.
Well, we don't know. This happened, so that's why he got attached. So why it happened, we don't know.
Or he would have just rescued and left it.
Could have, but then he would have been cruel not to save an animal that was dying or helpless. So that was his thing here. I cannot leave a helpless creature like this. I should give protection to it. So maybe the proper activities, yes, protect it, but don't become too attached, that's all. But he did become attached. That was the problem.
What if we discussed that any attachment can be dangerous? Can we say the same thing for devotees also, over-attachment?
Well, it will depend on the what the attachment is based on. If it's based on material things, then it can also be the same type of thing. Material reasons.
Well, some devotees attached to one particular devotee. That's what the thing is. We only depend on a particular devotee for spiritual advancement. If something happens to the devotee,
that can also be. That is why we see that. We have many Shiksha Gurus, for instance. So that way one can take instructions from so many persons and develop relationships of gaining instructions from many.
But we face this problem in ISKCON. So because of many Shiksha Gurus, we have different instructions. The same disciple of one guru gets different instructions from different Shiksha Gurus. This leads to confusion and misguidance.
Well, what instructions?
Following the regulatory principles of...
Well, I tell them, don't follow the regulatory principles. Well, I don't think those are very much. No one's going to say, one guru's not going to say, break all the regulatory principles or something like that. So everyone has a standard to follow. They chant 16 rounds, they're not going to say, don't chant 16 rounds, and things like that. There may be slight details which may differ sometimes, but not significant as far as I can see. They may give different instructions for material things, that of course, but that's not even the duty of the guru to do so. So that you take at your own risk.
not saying sell dharma to Krishna. Krishna is saying reject the national system. And if we try to...
Not only that, jnana, yoga, everything else.
So Maharaj, now if we try to institute the national system, is it contravening that construction of Krishna?
Well, if you do it, if you do it completely and you forget bhakti, yes. So the only way you could do it is that bhakti is still the center, and therefore you have to modify that system significantly. In which case, many of the principles of varnashram will not be there, like birth according to birth, varna according to birth, and all these things would have to be disrupted. So it'd be quite a different system in that case.
In that case, not be varnashram.
Well, yeah, it would be so different that they're quite a lot different, you know, so it wouldn't be the same thing. There's nothing really mentioned in scripture about that.
Yantra Sri Sri Mahārāj Ki Jai.